Stand, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. This is the love chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Hear the words of St. Paul, the words of the Holy Spirit, the very words of our Lord. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned and have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not unstable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they shall cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So, now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Join me in a moment of prayer, if you would. Heavenly Father, as we come now to approach your word once again, to find in it the exhortations, the encouragements, the instructions in righteousness that we so desperately need, we ask, Lord, that your Spirit will come now and prepare that heart that has come especially to hear. Lord, we know that only those that have ears to hear will hear, and only when you plow through the fertile ground of our souls will the seed take root and bring forth fruit. So, Lord, we're asking now as we come as hungry sheep that you will feed us in green pastures, that you will water us with living water, and that you will be beside us all the days of our lives. So be with us now as we approach your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We come to what I think is the concluding sermon of our excursus on love. We're actually in a series on Philippians. You remember that? We actually are in Philippians, and we'll be back there next Sunday and the next. But we've taken a detour off of Philippians 1:9, where Paul says that his prayer is that their love would abound more and more in discernment and knowledge. And so some knowledge and discernment with respect to what exactly love is the direction that we've taken as we've gone to the love chapter and looked at a good portion of that chapter. Today we look at one single verse, verse 7. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that this particular portion of God's Word is very liturgical. It is intended to be read publicly in the assembly. And because of that, it is quite literary. In the language, it is spaced and phrased in such a way to make the greatest impact upon the ears of the hearer. And so this verse is one of those verses. It really is just simply four verbs describing what love does or love is. And then following each of these verbs is the little Greek word panta, which means all things, or in all respects, or in all ways, or within a logic of what it might mean, it is comprehensive. And it says, love bears all things, love believes all things, love hopes all things, and love endures all things. I want us to take a little bit of a glance at what each of these verbs are talking about. The first one that says love bears all things is a word that really means to suppress or to cover. To bear in the sense of covering with silence. It is to conceal. It has to do with keeping a secret. It has to do with keeping a confidence. A true, genuine love protects reputations. It guards against the hurtfulness of public shame. True love seeks to cover, to conceal, and to hide those things which do not need to be placarded on the posters for all to see. Love will keep things to itself. Love will keep silent about unfavorable matters. A true, genuine Christian love is a love that keeps a confidence. In fact, I think this is precisely what Peter meant when he spoke in 1 Peter 4:8, when he says, love covers a multitude of sins. It's bad enough to know that our brother or our sister, our father, our mother, our fellow believer, our close friends have fallen and been seized by some poor conduct. But it's worse if we make it a matter of public knowledge. There's a place. Oh, believers, the apostle is calling here for some maturity. Some wisdom. You see, Paul's prayer in Philippians was that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. There's discernment in the way we treat others. And if we really love them, we keep some things to ourselves. Nobody ever has to know the details, the depths, the unsavory character of some things. They need to be covered. Not hiding sin. The Bible calls for a confession of sin, but it doesn't call for a broadcasting of sin. It doesn't call for a wallowing in the unsavory nature of the story. And many a hurt and many a grievance, I think, would be abated if we simply learned that love covers a multitude of sins. Love bears all things. It means to put up with, to tolerate, to live with. One of the signs of maturity, I think, emotional maturity, is the ability to live with certain tensions in your life. Certain maybe incongruities, certain anomalies. And be able to, with great discernment, bear these things. Just harbor them in your own soul and protect others with your silence. That's loving them. That's loving them. The next word is the word believes, and it's the common word that we're used to. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but the fundamental notion of this particular word is the concept of trust. It's not belief just in the cognitive reception and apprehension of something, but it is the trust and dependence that comes with it. It's always closely related, of course. The word faith, it also comes from this exact same word. When we love someone, we trust them. And love trusts. This is beyond just giving them the benefit of the doubt. This is the overcoming, the removal of the doubt. So many conflicts and so many letdowns and so many hurts that we have in our lives, beloved, is because we don't trust one another. We don't really trust one another. And if I know that you are not going to bear all things and keep your silence about my sin, I'm not going to confess my sin to you. God help me, I won't hide my sin. I will confess it, but not to you. But if I trust you, and I know you love me, and I know you trust me, I could pretty much tell you anything. And you can pretty much bear anything I tell you. The third word here is the word for hopes. Hopes all things. This hope in the Scripture is a very rich, I enjoyed kind of restudying this particular word because it took me back into the Old Testament where it talked about the hope of Israel, and then in the New Testament, the blessed hope. It's an expectation of things that are to come in the future. It's a very positive thing. It's the expectation of that which is lively, that which is beautiful, that which is good and positive. It's a yearning for the best. It's an expectation that involves a patient waiting. Oh, I couldn't have picked a better text for a Father's Day sermon in my whole life if I'd have tried. This is what the love of a father should be for his children. The expectation of the best. The implanting and the imparting to them the discipline and the love that will bear fruit in their lives in the years to come. Oh, I wish I'd have known a love like this 35 years ago. It's a love that is not looking to the negative, not looking to the potential fall, not looking to the downside, but is a positive, bright, hopeful love which says, I expected that. I knew you would do that well. I knew that you would behave in that commendable manner. Love hopes all things. And then, finally, the word endures. The word for endures is the word, we've looked at this one before. Back a year or so ago when we were studying through the letter of 1 Peter, we came upon that word, and it was in the context there of suffering. It's the word that has to do with standing fast, enduring. It's a steadfastness. It's not a passive thing that just sort of puts up with things, but it's an active, strong, energetic, positive emotion. It is the base word for our doctrine of perseverance. It means to undergo in order to overcome. And that's what love does. Love endures, suffers, hangs in there, pushes through, overcomes obstacles, lays aside impediments, stands fast, and moves forward. This is a description of God's love for us. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And the Scripture says that herein the love of God is revealed. That Christ was given and that Christ died for our sins. And the Bible says that He endured the cross. That's that word. It's the word. Endures. He endured the cross, despising the shame, setting aside the shame, ignoring the shame, counting the shame nothing. And the shame was real because as Jesus hung upon the cross that day, He not only bore in His body your sins and my sins, but He hung there naked and a reproach to all people. The Romans looked at Him as a traitor and a seditionist. The Greeks looked at Him as an utter fool. The Jews looked at Him as a blasphemer against God. And He hung there. He had spoken not a word before Pilate. Why did Jesus not say a word before Pilate? Because He was bearing sin and there's no excuse for sin. There was nothing He could say but to receive in Himself the punishment that was due you and me. He endured. Oh, if we could just get these Christian virtues into the viscera of our sin encrusted souls. If we could just ever grow enough in grace to be able to live and to love each other, our neighbor, the Lord, even our enemy, if we could just learn to love the way that God wants us to, looking always to Jesus as our example, our file leader, our big brother, the first fruits, the one that goes before us as our example, as one who endured the cross for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends.